Blog Talk Radio.
Man, we had Charlie, Trippy, and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback, like Johnny Lou Jack, or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of king, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yes, sir. It's that time of the week again. The CMC Firestorm Football Show. We got a big show coming up for you guys today. A lot of stuff to talk about. Today we're just with our regular panel. We got a big text. Jamal, what's going on with you, man?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, all right. Coming out of the Windy City, we got Chi-Town Mike. How's it going, Mike?
Well, it's not Windy City tonight, my friends. It's rainy, rainy city tonight. Raining, raining real hard, man, but that rain ain't going to stop me from doing what I love to do and talk some good old football talk with the boys. Welcome back, up. Jamal, a.k.a. Tech.
Oh, yeah. Jamal's joining us after being he was on last week, so he's back on. Any guests want to call in? Our number is 347-237-5539. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about. Let's get it off. Start talking about last week's big deal. Texas A&M versus Alabama Crimson Tide. Myself personally, I think I saw some chinks in Alabama's armor. You know, I put it up on Facebook. I mean, I think if Texas A&M had the same talent they had last year, I think they would have won again. Johnny Manziel is unstoppable. Like I said, I think if this was a more talented team, I think if A&M had more general talent, I think that they would have won this game. Alabama, you got to give them their props though. You know, they're battlers. They're a very well coached team, and you know, they step up in the moments when it's time to step up. But like I say, this made them look very mortal. And you know, I came into this season thinking that Texas A&M was overrated. You know, being in the top 10, especially seeing what they lost. You know, Jermon J. Moore and Luke Joko and Brian Swoop. But you know, like I said, they came out and played their hearts out. It was a close game. What do you guys think about that, Tex?
Well, A&M jumped out 14-0. Then it's 35-14. I thought A&M made an adjustment on the edges as far as containing Johnny Manziel. And you know, Bama, they are what they are. I'd say if they had chinks in the armor, it was at cornerback, But the way I feel about A&M is I still don't feel like they are as good as they were last year. They have the quarterback, they have the tackle, defense not as good. They have the wide receivers. You know, the big Mike Evans is going to be playing on Sunday. You know, he was a monster last year. You know, they have the quarterback, they have the weapons, they have the backfield. I just thought you saw a quarterback in Manziel that's obviously better than he was last year. You know, sticking in the pocket, making throws. You know, as far as Bama is concerned, you saw some explosion from their offense. And, you know, they also, you know, they won because they didn't get away from their assignments. Late in the game when they wanted to run the ball, when A&M was stacking the box with 8-9 guys, it was just assignment football. When they were running, guys were on their blocks. I mean, it was like a machine. I was impressed with that as far as Bama is concerned. But, you know, A&M has got a terrific offense. And I think Bama's hurting on the corners, but A&M won't put 42 points up on LSU when they play them. Totally different athletes, totally different defensive scheme. So I was impressed with both teams, but, you know, Bama is who they are. You know, that's why they're, you know, that's why they're about to have 4 BCS titles.
Mike?
I didn't get a chance to see the game. I've seen highlights of it. First things first, man, Johnny. I mean, the man racked up 500-some yards passing on Alabama's defense now. You know, the Alabama defense, you know, I still say number one because they're still the champion. So, you know, he had a couple, I think he had either two or three interceptions, but it's still to come back like that. I mean, Texas A&M had a chance, man. I mean, they had possibly a chance to win the game. And, like, I think we had touched this on it, I think, a couple weeks ago about A&M. I think Kelly Mike and Tex, you all talking about this Texas A&M defense. That's probably a reason, I know they were talking about it, maybe a factor of maybe why they didn't win, because the defense, I guess, didn't make, you know, the stops they needed to stop, because to put that many points up and, like I said, lose by a touchdown, and they was kind of sloppy, you know, with, like I said, with interceptions on Manziel, the rebound from that, though. I mean, it shows you right there, regardless that, you know, he's a guy you still could consider possibly, you know, a chance to win the Heisman again. It's a shame that these two teams can't play again, you know, let's say for the SEC championship. Well, who knows? Let's say if A&M take care of business and do what they do, could this be a preview of the BCS championship this year?
I wouldn't go that far with it.
You think this is a preview of the championship?
No, I'm saying, I mean, if Texas A&M wins out, let's say LSU wins out, and, you know, do they think? Could it be, you know, the SEC like it was in Alabama, LSU, one versus two? Could it be Alabama, you know, one versus Texas A&M two type of thing? I mean, hey.
No.
I mean, like,
yeah,
I said, they came, I mean, they lost by a touchdown and see how they play, man. Had some probably a chance to tie or possibly win the game, even though they started off kind of, you know, not.
I don't think it's a real possibility, considering all the factors. I don't think that's a real possibility.
Yeah, it would be. That was a once in a lifetime thing, I think. So. But Tex, you spoke about Mike Evans. What makes him so special, do you think?
Well, he's, you know, dude is about 6'5", 210 to 220. You know, big wide receiver, long strider, reaches out, plucks the ball, does a good job hot pointing the ball when he's, you know, when he has to go up in the air and get it. I don't know if he's a first rounder. I think he's definitely, you know, most of the best wide receivers are drafted in the later rounds anyway. But, it's, you know, he's just, you know, he's what the NFL wants, that big wide receiver. Although he's not, He doesn't have that Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, Andre Johnson like speed, but he, you know, he can stride. He has size. He can body up defensive backs. He has a wide body. He can, you know, he can shield the ball from DBs, and he can come back and pluck it. Ideal for crossing routes and quick plants. So he has a place in the NFL.
Yeah, I really like his game, and you know, only being a sophomore too, or a redshirt sophomore, he has good hands. He's only gonna get better. This dude was only a three star prospect coming out of high school too, which you know, I say, just lets you know how deep high school football is in Texas. I mean, he wasn't a very heralded guy, but you know, here he is, you know, getting almost 300 yards receiving against Alabama. That's major, 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 major. Let's move on. We got big matchups. A lot of big matchups. Let's look at the Pac-10 and the Pac-12 now, and the Big Ten. Which conference do you guys think is better? They had a lot of matchups this year going on. Who do you think takes the crown as the second best conference, or do you think, or maybe it's the ACC? What do you guys think?
I think it's the Pac-12 right now. The new AD Pac-12 is the programs have so much money now. The facilities are becoming state of the art. They're so much better. So many more teams on the rise. You got who was that that beat that was Arizona State beating Wisconsin. You know, you look at the Big Ten, they're losing. It's just not a powerhouse with the money now as it used to be, and you have Michigan barely beating Akron at home. I mean, goodness, you know what, man? You look at the Pac-10, you got at the top of that conference is strong. If Oregon goes undefeated, they're in the BCS title game. If Ohio State goes undefeated, how can you put them in the BCS title game when their conference isn't as strong as the Pac-10, especially at the top, when you got Michigan almost losing to Akron, and you got all these other inferior teams hanging with these Big Ten teams. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like a guy said the other day: if you're an Ohio State fan, you better be rooting for Michigan and everybody else to try to blow some of these teams out so your conference can look strong, but they look very, very weak right now. This is three bad weeks in a row for them.
I'm looking at it right now. You had Washington defeated Illinois. You had like you said, Arizona State beat Wisconsin. UCLA beat Nebraska. It was kind of a big Pac-12 Big Ten matchup this week. I think the only one that they got over was Ohio State over Cal, and Cal is going through a definite rebuild, restocking process right now. But other than that, they was getting shellacked all this whole week. It wasn't looking that good at all for these games. Like you said, Akron. How you gonna win? Only win over 4 points over Akron. Mike, what do you think is going on with the Big Ten? Do you think maybe, like I say, you know, I was asking you a couple of weeks ago about the economy in that area. Is it because there's been a shift in the economy? You're not getting that money coming out of the Big Ten, the Detroits and the areas like that. Do you think maybe that's why these schools aren't being, being able to compete, you know, facility wise and stuff like that?
I don't think the county has nothing to do with it. I just think, I guess, you know, it's time everybody has their run, and after that run ends, I think you say too, the coaching. you know, with Michigan, Rich Rodriguez, I guess with his style, really wasn't the fit for Michigan. And then, you know, they went through all that change, which I personally thought that Lloyd Carr was a good coach for them, but they just, their problem was not really on offense. Their problem was defense. They needed, you know, a D coordinator or something defensively to help them out. So that's been the problem with that. Ohio State, you know, Tressel, is this, you know, they problem before things kind of went bad was just going against SEC teams. You know, against the speed killing, since, you know, Big Ten known for the power. But now just kind of going through some programs, like Northwestern, a program that's going to come up. You know, they finally won a bowl game for the first time in a long, like, since, like, 1940 or something like that. They finally won a bowl game. So, I mean, into the realignment, we added some new, you know, the new teams in the conference. So, it's just going through some things right now. But I think it's going to take some time for them to get back to where they were. And I
thought let me ask you like this. You got Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, Clemson, and Stanford. Does Ohio State really have a chance, do you think, of beating any of those teams?
What team are you talking about, Ohio State?
The other teams that are in the top five with Ohio State. And I think I look at those teams, and you can even go in the top ten and, you know, maybe include I don't know where Michigan stands right now. I think they might be standing at 10 or 11. I mean, it just seems that those other schools can compete with each other, and I don't see that, you know, I watched the games. They just don't look that crisp anymore. It's, you know, I mean, back in the glory days of Michigan and Ohio State, you know, they used to just look very, you know, they used to look at least crisp, you know, at least until the 2000s when they played the SEC teams and started getting whooped. But, you know, 90s, you know, early 2000s, they just look really crisp. And those teams, they just don't look like the same teams anymore. You know, it looks, you know, I don't know how to describe it. You know what I'm talking about, Tex? I mean, they just don't, you know what I mean? It's just, it's like it's a different product, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Like I said, I think Northwestern is another team that's a program that's going to come up because, like you said, Fitzgerald Lawrence, he stayed there, which he probably is. And, of course, Ohio State has Urban Meyer, and they still haven't lost yet. Michigan, I had said this, though. I mean, Hope, he's a Michigan guy, but I was just saying this, though, even though it might be a little controversy, but then because it'll bring some controversy, I was saying, hey, if, let's say, Hope struggles for not beating Ohio State over the next, probably say, the next couple of years, well, Michigan goes after Tressel, Jim Tressel is their coach. Because, I mean, look at his record, what he did when he was Ohio State coach. He owned Michigan.
Yeah, that'll be pretty far-fetched.
Like Penn State, though, I mean, O'Brien had a chance, you know, his chance, you know, NFL was calling him, but he decided to stay at Penn State. So, you know, Penn State's going, you know, going what they're going through. It's going to take time with them. And then you got Nebraska. I didn't know that Bo Pelini, you know, was feeling pressure right now where if they don't do well, he could be out. I didn't know that based on what I was, you know, reading. I mean, since they, you know, a story
It's another program that was on the top end. You know, look where they are now compared to where they were 20 years ago. Nebraska, I mean, you know, in the 90s, Nebraska was college football.
Now you don't
want to watch another. You know, who wants to watch Nebraska again now?
Yeah, I guess, you know. I guess one thing about,
I mean,
about
think,
teams,
think about it.
When's
last
college,
time you, when's last time you said, "Oh, I want to go watch the Nebraska game"? You know.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's new breed of teams now. I guess, you know, everybody, they had their moment to shine for the time being. Well, you know, just seeing the new thing of college football, but also too, I think it might could play a role on it, too. Look at reduction of scholarships now. You don't get as much players like you once would either because of the reduction where it's a competitive field, you know, it's even playing field everywhere else, too.
Yeah.
I think that kind of plays a part, too.
One thing I noticed with the traditional powers in college football is even if the program falls off for a time, they'll still get talent. You know,
It might not be the same level of talent or the number of talented players, but, you know, they'll still get talent, you know. And some of these Big Ten schools aren't putting out talent anymore. You know, Michigan right now, they have a very good recruiting class. They have one of the best classes in recent history if it stays together as it is right now. But, you know, they used to turn out talent. And they're not turning out, you know, they're not even turning out busts anymore. You know, the David Terrells and, you know, and cats like that. They're not even turning out those guys anymore. And, you know, and Charles Rogers and, you know, they're just, you know, you're just not seeing those guys anymore.
That put Charles Rogers the same sense as Michigan. You know, he's a Spartan.
I'm just saying Big Ten in general, you know. I mean, they're not, you know, like the conference, you know, they're not even putting out busts anymore. You know, they're just, you know, doesn't seem like they're putting out guys, period. And, you know, like I say, you look at programs that have been on the downside, you know, Miami's still going to put out, you know, they're still going to have a talented player. You know, Bama, you know, they were still, you know, Shawn Alexander, you know, something, you know. These other programs, you know, like I say, I don't know. Maybe it's the area. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll try, you know, maybe get more in depth in that later. Like I said, there's a definite issue going on with the Big Ten. Let's shift gears here. Want to go into a thing we call buy, sell, or hold. And basically, we got a couple of different teams, and we're going to know if you're buying, selling, or you want to hold off until further notice on them. Let's start off with Big Ten, Ohio State. Tex, Ohio State, buy, sell, or hold.
I'm selling Ohio State. They look slow. Even against inferior opponents that don't have better teams but have better athletes, they look very, very slow. They started with Buffalo. Even California looked very speedy when lined up against them. I'm selling Ohio State.
Okay, Mike, buy, sell, or hold Ohio State.
Hey, they still winning, though. I mean, I still stay on them. They still winning, so I still say buy, but I still think, you know, they still, you know, with their record, they still not, I guess, maybe because all the stuff they, you know, doing, you know, being somewhat on, you know, being bowl eligible and everything, I guess, from last year, it's still kind of like cloud around them, you know, all the stuff that happened, but I think even though their record, they haven't lost, they still not the Ohio State, yet, but still, I stick on them too long as they keep winning.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold.
Since 2011.
Go ahead, Mike.
I said they haven't lost since 2011.
Yeah. I'm going to hold on Ohio State. I want to see Braxton Miller come back healthy. I think he's got upgraded to probable for the next game. If they play a real bounce back game against their next opponent, even though they blew out Cal, you know, if they really just come out and just really crush whoever they play next, let me look and see who they play next. My goodness, they are playing the perennial powerhouse of Florida A&M. So I think that could be the exact name Ohio State needs to bounce back. So I'm going to hold on there until after next week and another 70 points possibly and see how the guys come out after that. But it's family doing schedule, that kind of game. I get this. Okay, let's go on to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is an interesting story. They continuing off of last year's success, had a good recruiting class last year. Two of the top players in the country and top 10 recruiting class. Tex, you buying or selling or holding on Ole Miss?
I'm going to buy on Ole Miss. Young football team. They have a program in place. It looks like they're going to recruit pretty well. Very, very young right now. I think about a year or two off. Probably 2 years until, like, contender status. Kind of like how I feel about Auburn a little bit. I think Auburn is a lesser version right now of what Mississippi is, and they'll be around in about 2 years. But I'm going to buy on Mississippi. Great young talent. They got it in place. They're ready to go. They're just so young right now, but I'm buying.
You know, Mike?
Well, I saw that game they had against Vanderbilt. I mean, that was a heck of a game. I didn't get a chance to see them since that time, but, I mean, they look pretty good. They're competitive in the SEC, so, yeah, I'll stick with keeping them.
That young wide receiver they got, Treadwell, he looks like he's gonna He looks like he's gonna be a star.
Yeah, he's a bad.
He's got definitely star potential. Right now, I believe we have on the Mountain South, Quazell Mathis. What's going on, Quazell?
What is up, people? You can hear me? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we hear you real good.
All right. I did not get the first few topics, but Ole Miss, I am buying temporarily until – I don't think they'll beat Alabama, though. I don't think they'll beat Alabama, but I am buying. I think they will make noise. I think that, you know, they'll be in the game in a lot of games against Texas A&M, against LSU. So, I mean, we'll see what they can do. I'm buying Ole Miss for temporarily.
Okay. Like I said, I'll go ahead and buy on them too. You know, I agree. You know, San Diego Tech State, young team, a lot of talent, and they're recruiting well.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Also, real quick, to answer your two questions from before, Alabama does is not as good as they were last year. But, you know, it is what it is. They're still probably one of the top three teams in the country. Pac-12 is definitely better than the Big Ten. And, you know, I was wrong about Tennessee. I thought they were going to give them a chance, even though they were with them for the first few minutes. But, you know.
I was waiting for you to get on to bring that up. And I believe that. What was the point total? What did I say? I believe I said 60. What was the point total? Oh, 59. Okay. I see.
How did people think Tennessee would run with Oregon?
No, everybody said they were going to run. No, run with them? You mean keep the score close? Yeah, I thought they were going to be able to keep the score close. Because you saw the first two weeks Tennessee played, even though they played cupcakes, they looked very good on defense. They looked very good. And I thought they could control Oregon's offense. I just think that they were in the game for like half, almost the first quarter. But then something happened, like the calls didn't go their way, and they just gave up. I don't know why.
Oregon happened.
I know where it didn't go their way. Marcus Mariota throwing all them touchdowns and passing for 450 yards didn't go their way.
No. If you watch the game at the very beginning, Tennessee was in the game. They were like, you know, toe to toe with them, but they didn't get a call their way.
Hold on. Let me end this right now. They scored one touchdown in the first quarter, and they scored one touchdown on the almost last play of the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the first quarter, Kelly. Mike. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let me finish. Let me go.
In between the Oregon scored.
Yes, I know.
I
know that. That's what I said. I said what happened was it was like something happened where the calls weren't going Tennessee's way, and they gave up.
59 points happened.
Yeah, 59 points, and they just gave up. That's the indication of them giving up.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought they were going to do better, but unfortunately they didn't.
let's get back to our buy seller hold. I want to finish this up. Buy seller hold UCLA. I want to start this. I'm buying UCLA. I like their program as an SC fan. I can't say I like them too much. They got a really nice quarterback in Brett Hundley. Good coaching. They're starting to dip into a USC's recruiting pool. They've had a couple of transfers. Shaquille Evans, the wide receiver they got from Notre Dame, has really stepped up this year. And they're looking really good. And also, they got Kenny Vanderdoes, who transferred from Notre Dame. And he's a freshman. He hadn't even started playing yet. But I can definitely buy on them. I see them getting better. Unfortunately for SC, I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm buying on UCLA too. Like you said, they cutting in USC's recruiting a little bit.
They're going to
Florida. They have a lot of athletes. Jim Moore's got them turned around. They're probably a year off, a year or two, but I mean they right now. I mean they are looking good. That program has has come back. And, you know, again, I have to reiterate, you're cutting in USC's recruiting, that's half the battle. Now, you know, all you got to do is work your way back back east a little bit. But I'm buying on USC. I mean, UCLA as a program.
Well, I mean, you say they're cutting into UCLA. They're really getting some athletes down here in Florida. That's where they're coming to get the athletes from. UCLA, that's they're coming down to Florida and getting that stuff. But either way, I put UCLA. You say they're a year or two away. I think they're right there right now, something tells me. You see how they beat Nebraska? They beat the pants off of them. I mean,
Nebraska.
They were looking very – I know Nebraska's not good. Hey, they look very good against Nebraska. They have to be a top-10 team. I put them in the top-10.
But do you think UCLA can beat Oregon, though?
I don't know about that. But that's a different story. But I just said Oregon's probably the best team right now. But what I'm saying is UCLA is up in the top 10. I put them in the top 10. Closer to the top 5 than the top 10.
I don't know top 5. I don't know.
I can't say it would be lower top 5, but it wouldn't be like it'd be like number 6 or 7 or something like that. UCLA's up there now. I mean, they look really good.
I can see top 10. I don't know about top 5. I could definitely see top 10, though.
Yeah.
Mike, so I think they've arrived. I think they're there now.
I mean, I think, too, a guy to me, more, you know, I guess a guy who's been in the NFL ranks, who's a head coach, well, I thought, you know, the Atlanta thing, you know, hey, I thought he did good when he was there, but that's another story. That's the NFL. But, hey, players getting a chance to come for a guy who coached in the NFL, yeah, that's a big thing. And too, you know, in California, didn't know that really that USC people really want Kiffin out and how they're going, where some groups in that area might looking because down between USC and UCLA, they might decide to go to UCLA right now, just not knowing if Kiffin's going to be the head coach within next year or 2 years.
Mike, are you buying, selling, or holding, though?
That's what I was going to say, Tex. Let me, you know, finish saying what I was breaking it down. Of course, I'll say it's all about UCLA. Yeah, I'll buy UCLA.
Okay. Let me bring in a call that we can 8-5. Leave it to Jen. Hello? 850?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, you're on with
doing all right here. I see that you're doing a buy, sell, or hold for a few teams here. Oh, you did UCLA, Ohio State, no miss, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll go from the first one now. You said Ohio State. Like right now, I'm buying them, but it seems like they're not really, you know, convincing as far as like a top 5 team for folks. And even with them playing FAMU on Saturday, that's really not going to give you a good barometer of how good they're going to be in the season, especially when they start getting into conference play. You see how they did against California. And I think it was, what was that, Buffalo, when they were playing Buffalo?
Yeah,
they Buffalo were kind of looking sluggish against them also. So once again, the conference play, we'll really, you know, see pretty much how they're going to fare as far as like being a national title contender. In reference to Ole Miss, right now I'm going to have to sell them. At least for this season, I'll have to sell them because I didn't really see anything that was, you know, all too convincing about them. Texas is not really a good team this year. We know that Mack Brown may not finish this season because by the time they get to Oklahoma might trounce them like 77-7 or something like that. And he might just, you know, step down after that game or something. So that should tell you about, you know, how good Ole Miss really is when, you know, Texas ain't really that good to begin with. So we're going to see how they do against, like, so Texas A&M, Alabama, LSU, and that type of thing. And then the last one with UCLA, with them, I don't know, man. I might have to be like Big Pun on this one. I might have to rent out lease with an option to buy with them, man. As far as like them being the top 10 team, maybe, but nowhere close to top 5. Right now, they're the best in the division, the Pac-10 South. But that's mainly because, you know, USC is down this year and probably be for at least another year. So with them winning the division title last year, they may repeat as division champions this year. But I don't see them being better than the likes of Oregon or Stanford as, in reference to the whole conference is concerned.
Okay. Let me let's move on. I want to throw in a team that we didn't originally have on the list here, but I've been thinking about Texas Tech. They're undefeated right now. You know, they're coached by Cliff Kingsbury, and they've been looking pretty good lately. I mean, they had a good win over TCU, and it looks like whoever they're putting in that passing game, you know, they had a walk-on freshman starting for them. And it just seems like whoever they plug in with, you know, keeps on chunking it out there. Have you guys got to look at Texas Tech? They're ranked number 25 right now. And if so, what do you guys think about
that? I haven't really got a chance to look at them, but I hear a lot of good things, though. I don't know. I need to look at them first. But, you know, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, he's been known for his play calling, so hey, they probably could beat Texas.
What have you been hearing about the Red Raiders?
I think it's a bit of a throwback, you know, a little bit of one of them days when they were wide open. It's a bit of a throwback. I still don't see them as a top 15 team. While I still like TCU, I kind of think their offense is hindering them. I think their defense is pretty good, but Tech looks a little impressive, but I'm just not these Big 12 teams. They just, you know.
Big 12, how you feel about them?
You trust them with the Big 12, but when you know against people that can run, you just don't trust them. So that's how I feel about them.
Okay. Let's
hold on. Trent Richardson was traded.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk about that NFL.
Okay. I just heard this now. What?
I
can't wait to talk about Shiano and Freeman, boy. Oh my God, keep going.
I was gonna say about Texas Tech, though. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is a legend there. You know, he was the coordinator at Texas A&M last year with Johnny Manziel. So, regardless of how the ranking is and what they're doing, I mean, that's pretty good. You know, like, they definitely gonna be getting some recruits and. As long as he's there, and that's his alma mater, like I say, he's a legend. Hey, they doing all right.
Okay, let's go on to LSU. It's a different look LSU team this year. Zach Mettenberger is surprising a lot of people at this play. He's been playing really well. I know, Fazil, you weren't too big on him here. He's been looking pretty good right now, and defense is looking okay. What do you guys? You guys buying, selling, or holding on to us?
I'm gonna have to buy. Unfortunately, I know Texas Tech's favorite team. He ain't gonna admit it, but I know it is. But I think that I'll buy LSU. They're good. I was wrong about Mettenberger last year I wasn't wrong. He played like garbage until Alabama. But he's stepped his game up, so I'll buy LSU, let's just put it that way. I don't like them as an Alabama fan, but I'll buy them in terms of a team being objective.
I'm a buyer on LSU. It's like I've been saying, I think they're this year's 2012 version of Florida, in which they kind of reload, they restock, they have some athletes that, you know, they have some pretty good athletes, although they don't have, I don't think they, like I said, I don't think they have the the difference makers right now to where they just had a defense loaded with the past 3 or 4 years. But they certainly have athletes that, I mean, talented ball club. Offensively, they're better. I think the only thing that would hold them back would probably be not being able to have the ball hawks, have a ball hawk on D, or just Les Miles himself and his coaching. But I'm buying on LSU.
Okay. Okay, Mike?
I'm buying. LSU is LSU. They haven't done nothing to say anything different. They had a close call with TCU, but, you know, hey, college football, but the LSU still doing their thing right now.
Okay. I got a caller here from the 813 I'm going to bring in. Hello, you're on with TMC Fox.
What's up, people? Tony Watley.
Okay, what's going on,
caller. Tony? Low.
What's up, what's up? First and foremost, I will say I would buy LSU. They're legit. Secondly, this whole Texas Tech conversation y'all were having, let me give you my analogy. Just because you are the fattest cupcake in the cupcake pan does not mean that you're not a cupcake.
The cupcake.
So, it's very simple. Until they start playing some real cakes, they're cupcakes.
And I agree. I agree. I mean, it's like that Boise State analogy. I mean, once you can go to Alabama and beat them in Alabama, you know, go to LSU and beat them in Death Valley, you know, you can do that. Then we're gonna start paying attention to you. But you know, until you can do that, then I mean, you're just gonna be one of them like mid-major type of teams. You know.
There you go.
You know, you beat Texas at home in Texas Tech. Go to Austin and beat them. You know.
Yeah.
But they did beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma. I didn't think about that with Tommy Tuberville last year.
They've had some wins, you know. I mean, they, you know, they'll say you can. You know, it's not. You know, it's. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, go here and go there, but you know, we all know the schedules. They're not just making up the schedules, you know, a year in advance. You know, especially for out of conference games, you make these schedules up, you know, 5-4 years in advance. So you know, you can go to bcsschedules.com and see who's playing who, you know, 5 years from now. You know, for out of conference. So it's not, you know, it's not that easy to just say that. I mean, you can only, you know, in the end, you can only play who's on your schedule. You know, you don't know if your program's going to be, you know, up or down, you know, in 5 years. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, you might inherit a schedule that was made by a previous coach. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say that, you know, go different schools like that.
Okay, but my point is very simple. When you look at your schedule and the toughest person on your schedule is in the bottom 20 at most, whereas you look at these other people and they play 3 and 4 people in the top 10, how can you even compare the schedules? You're playing a bunch of people that is not even championship caliber versus these teams that are having to play 2 and 3 and 4 different teams in the top 10. They can't be put in the same level or in the same position as those teams.
Like University of Florida?
No, like for example, a Vanderbilt. Yes, Vanderbilt gets squashed every year. But look at who Vanderbilt plays every year. I guarantee you, you take Vanderbilt and put them in the Big 12, they will be contenders.
That's just because that's who's in their conference, though. Vanderbilt isn't going out of their way to play those schools. I'm sure Vanderbilt wouldn't want to play them if they did after.
It's easy for you to say Texas Tech is better than Vanderbilt, but that's because you only see Texas Tech playing cupcakes. Vanderbilt has to play champions every week.
But I'm saying they're playing who's in their schedule, though. That's like
it
I say,
matter.
Basically
what
you're
I'm
trying
saying
to say.
Is you can't say Texas Tech is better than Vanderbilt because Texas Tech is playing a bunch of cupcakes.
If that's the case, you can't say nobody's better than anybody who hasn't played each other.
You can say that Vanderbilt probably has a better chance of beating Texas Tech than beating LSU because they play them.
But they're in their schedule, that's in their conference.
And that's why the conference that I said Texas Tech is in is a bunch of cupcakes.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see where you're going from, but I totally don't agree in that line of thinking because, like I said, that's the line of thinking we're saying that whoever the champion of the SEC is going to be the best team in the country again. And I've already said I'm a strict advocate against that. But
okay,
anyway,
well,
I don't
tell that to the last
get...
six champions.
Let's talk about the ACC reemergence right now. We have University of Miami, Florida State, and Clemson all looking good right now. Are we seeing the ACC come back to where they were? I mean, ACC, like I say, people, you know, they always talk bad about it, but I keep telling people they've always produced good teams, and they always produce a lot of talent. You know, they might not be the championship bell ringer, you know, or, you know, put out a lot of championships, but, you know, like I said, they're a decent conference. What do you guys think?
Well, it's, you know, the ACC has always had athletes, and we're not talking about just Clemson and Florida State, Miami. We also talking about Georgia Tech. We talking about Miami. I mean, even NC State to an extent. You know, they've always had athletes. They've always had track stars. You know, they're making a comeback though. Miami is starting to, you know, the program is starting to rise a little bit. Florida State is back into it. Clemson probably top three, four, definitely. Top five team. I think the top of that conference is about as strong as anybody else in the nation. You know, along with the ACC and along with the Pac-12 and the SEC. So the ACC on their way back, and even North Carolina, while not at the top, still have a bunch of athletes. Still have a bunch of guys that are going to play on Sunday.
You know what? Y'all guys are just like all of those golfers that swear that Phil Mickelson is just as good as Tiger Woods.
No, we don't believe that.
But all them white folks do. All them white golfers, oh, well, he ain't as good as they say he is. He is as good as they say he is. He's better than they say he is. Y'all need to stop putting down the SEC. We ain't had six championships in a row because we love
this is who put okay, who put down the SEC? Now you just made something up right there. Nobody put down the SEC, but you made
said,
that up, right?
You said that
yeah, but
the
you're trying
ACC
to make it you're trying to pump these other conferences to be just as good as the SEC though, Mike.
No, you just
who
said the
that?
ACC's top five teams are as good as the top five teams in the SEC. That is bullshit.
For one, Tech said that, and for two, he didn't even say that. You just made that up. He said the top
he,
of the conference.
He said Clemson,
he said that he, hold on, let me tell you what he just said. Let me
South
tell you what he
Carolina
just said before you think something
just
else.
Just as good as the teams in the SEC. He said that.
And Callie Mike, you're on tape last year saying that the Pac-12 was better than the SEC. You said that last year.
No,
which was ludicrous. Yes, you did. You're on tape saying that. Yes, you are. You're on tape saying that. That's a bunch of BS you said right there. Anyway, keep going. I don't want to do it. You're on tape. All right, keep going.
Clemson just beat South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
South Carolina is a top team in the SEC, aren't they?
No, Clemson beat Georgia. Clemson beat Georgia.
You know what I mean. Clemson beat Georgia, right? Georgia's
at home, right?
Georgia's
Clemson was at home,
team.
Right? Clemson at home? Clemson was at home, right?
Okay, but like I said, so either way, they can play with anybody else. Basically, that's what we're saying.
Well, yeah. Nobody's like saying that the teams, other teams in other conferences can't play with certain teams in the SEC. Nobody ever said that. I just said
that's
overall as a
said.
Conference.
That's what was said. You guys are turning into something else.
No, I'm not turning anything. I said you're trying to pump these other conferences to be equal to the SEC. That's all I'm saying. But I'll give you credit here, Matt, Callie Mike. The Pac-12 They're getting closer to the SEC. I think they're like SEC's number one.
I'm gonna say this once again, and this is what I've been saying all along. You got teams in the SEC. You can't beat nobody. And
what?
Hold on. Let me finish. You got teams in every conference. They can't beat nobody.
Name a team in the SEC that can't beat nobody.
Vanderbilt can't beat nobody.
Name one.
Mississippi State.
Vanderbilt can go in all of the other. I guarantee Vanderbilt can go in all the other conferences and finish in the top five. I guarantee it.
You are a maniac.
I guarantee it.
You're a maniac.
Maybe they were. I mean, it's possible.
Well, I think Vanderbilt now can do it, but maybe not Vanderbilt 5 years ago.
Vanderbilt now is a little bit better than they were.
Now we're starting to get into an insane argument because none of this can be proven, and it's all speculation.
All right,
because
that's fine. We can move
State,
on.
Mississippi State was beaten by Oklahoma State, so that means that they can't go in there. They can't go into the Big 12. And beat one of their top teams. So that argument is over.
Well, I'll say this. Hey, Callie Mike, I'll say this. This year is sort of somewhat of a down year for the SEC. I'll say that. I'll concede to that. It's still the best conference, but it's a down year for the SEC.
Every conference has up and down years.
Some conferences only have down years.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, out of all the years the SEC has won these championships, this year is the down year for the SEC, I think. I think this is the down year.
I think Oregon got it this year.
It's not, like I said, it's not a down. I don't think it is a down year. We're seeing the same thing.
I do. I think it's a down year for the SEC.
Hold on, let me finish. We're seeing the same thing we see out of the SEC and we see out of most conferences every year. You have four or five good teams, and the rest are not good. This year is Alabama, LSU, and everybody else.
That's not true.
Oh, wow.
That's not true.
Oh, wow.
Texas A&M is up there, too. Even though they lost to Alabama, Texas A&M is up there, too.
I'm going to say this, and I'm being completely honest.
And Georgia's up there, too.
If Texas A&M was not in the SEC, they wouldn't be ranked in the top 10 right now, even with their record right now.
Yes, they would.
If they were still in the Big 12 with only wins over Rice and Sam Houston State, they would not be in the top 10.
But you're just saying based off those wins, or are you talking about like just based off of last year?
They ranked people off of what your performance was.
At the beginning of the year, they ranked people off of what your performance was the previous year and what you have coming up.
Okay, they were a 9-3 team last year. They've done that before and weren't ranked in the top 10.
Okay, I'll put it like this.
Well, what's your point?
You take any team in
America. Hold on, am I lying?
I don't know. I think they would still be in the top 10.
They've done it before and never been ranked in the top 10. I'm saying they've done it before and have never been ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, but they didn't come off a season like they did last year, so that's the difference.
Yes, they have. Yeah. They have.
Well, they went to Alabama and beat them?
I'm going to tell you, off of one game
and one win, that makes them a top 10 team.
And they blew out Oklahoma in the championship game and they have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner?
Anyway,
I know James is going to say something negative. I'm waiting on you. I'm listening. I'm waiting for you, James. I know you're going to say something.
Hold on. Let me bring in James. Maybe James is
here.
Let me put
Teddy
Wiley on hold.
James,
you're
back on
the CNT Fire. Oh, come on, Clausel. Man, look, we need to put a stop to all this right now, all right? First off, I heard some real disturbing comments going on here. First off, in reference to Boise State, the reason why Boise State is in the status that they're in is because none of those big teams wanted to play a home-and-home against them. That's why they play against them in all those neutral sites.
Right, because they don't. Hold that thought real quick, James. The reason is, I mean, they haven't earned the right to do a home and home with these schools. They need to go to the.
Wait, hold on. So when they get to those points of ending the season at number 3 in the country or ending the season at number 5 in the country, that's not a good enough reason for all of
these. Absolutely not, because you play these cup.
Go ahead with your point.
I'm sorry. The answer to your question is absolutely not, because you can't just play these cupcake teams, then go to a bowl game and play a team that don't even want to be there, like an Oklahoma. No, you have to go to a school, go to an Alabama in the middle of the season, go to Alabama in the middle of the season and beat them. That's how Florida State got their rep. They went to Nebraska and beat them when Nebraska was Nebraska, and that put Florida State on the mind. That's what Miami did. They went to the other places and beat them in their own backyard. That's what they had to do. That's what Boise State has to do. They can't do no home and home. Now, if they go to a place and beat those schools, I'm good with that.
You're forgetting something. You brought up Florida State, Miami, right? The problem was Florida State and Miami were independents at that time, so they could go anywhere and they could play anybody, just like Notre Dame is right now. Once Florida State and Miami joined the conference, they really couldn't do that. They had to play those schools 1 or 2 or 3. Florida State would still travel as one out of conference opponent. And play 1 or 2 cupcake out of conference opponents, and then their conference schedule once they join a conference. So that is a different. That's a different aspect right there on that.
Well, yeah, they're independent,
Here's another thing. A lot of these schools are really scared to schedule these home and home games against the likes of the Boise States, the TCU's before TCU joined the Big 12. Case in point. The Florida Gators. I've already stated many times that they do not schedule home and homes with anybody other than Florida State or maybe Miami, and they haven't done it in the past 20 years. You could go back and look it up.
That's true. Now, with Florida Gators, I'll give you that. Florida Gators, they don't do that. But you can't say Alabama don't do that, Miami don't do that.
Alabama go and play?
They play Oklahoma, they went to Penn State.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So Alabama play Oklahoma and beat them, and it's all good. But Boise State beat them, and it's all bad.
No. Alabama didn't even beat Oklahoma that time. What are you talking about? Alabama lost both times in those situations. First of all, Boise State played Oklahoma in a bowl game they didn't even want to be in. Like, just like Alabama and Utah. That doesn't count. They don't even want to be in the game, man. Go in the middle of the season and beat them in their backyard. There's a complete difference right there.
But here's the thing. In order for Boise State to play like an Oklahoma or an Alabama in the middle of the season, then Alabama and Oklahoma have to agree to go to Boise State the next year.
Boise – Well, hold on. Yes, that's what Boise State standards are, but Boise State is messing up because State hasn't gotten the cachet in order to do that.
Boise State has
to go over there and beat them and then make those schools say, okay, I can do a home-and-home with them. That's the difference right there.
That's false by everybody's standards. I'm going to give you a good case in point. Right there in your backyard, University of South Florida, right? Did they schedule a home and home with Florida State? Yes.
Did they schedule a home and home with Miami?
Yes.
Because South Florida beat West Virginia.
But you're missing the point. You're talking about bringing up South Florida beating West Virginia. Those are in conference games. I'm talking about out of conference games.
Exclusively.
That's not so that USF West Virginia game doesn't count. What I'm bringing up is USF against Michigan State, USF against Florida State, USF against Miami, those type of games. That's what they're doing. Does Florida do that? No. They have had University of South Florida has had 2 games against the University of Florida. Both of them are in Gainesville.
Yeah, that's true. Gators don't do that. I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is the other schools do that.
Let's not get too stuck up on this. I want to say this right quick in James' defense. Toledo
Georgia Southern, New Mexico State, Florida Atlantic, UMass, North Texas, Idaho, Eastern Michigan, Eastern Kentucky. That's all of University of Florida's out-of-conference games besides Florida State and Miami. Well, not even Miami anymore. Besides Florida State for the next 5 years. That's who they're scheduled out of conference.
And see, that's been my point with the University of Florida. But the other thing is I wanted to bring up quick, that point about Texas A&M, you know, being in the top five. Yeah, if they were in the Big 12, they would not be in the top five. That only happens when they're in the SEC.
Thank you.
And because
thank
of the preseason ranking, that's what they do. They put about five schools in the SEC in the top 10. And let the chips fall where they may. And at the end of the season, one of those SEC teams is pretty much in the BCS National Championship game, no matter what the schedule is.
I'm sorry, I had to say one thing. Hold on, I had to say one thing too. I had to say one thing too in regards to that West Virginia conference. USF also went to Auburn and beat them too. Just want to put that out there.
But did
they
Auburn
beat them in Auburn.
USF
beat Auburn in Auburn before they beat West Virginia in West Virginia. That gave them cachet. That's I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, but that's still that Auburn game is still out of conference. I mean,
they were able to show that they can go to the big boys' house, the big conference's house, and beat them in their own backyard, and that gives you cachet.
Well,
it gives you a bargaining chip to do a home and home.
Even if that does give you cachet, there's still teams that don't even schedule home and homes. Like I said, Florida. USF also went to Oklahoma. They also went to Alabama, too. Have those teams come back to Tampa and play them?
No, because at that time, USF didn't have that cachet. All right, I just want to – never mind. Let Mike direct the conversation. I'm sorry.
All right, let's move on.
I think this year, based on how the Big 12 is, they probably ranking the top five right now.
I don't understand how you can't say Texas A&M is not a top 10 team, but whatever. Keep moving. After they played this, after the way they played this weekend, I guess.
With
whatever.
What defense?
Yeah, but offensively, man, I mean, whatever.
They put up some.
Y'all keep moving.
Let's move on. We kind of cut into our NFL time here. Hold on, James. I'm going to put you on hold real quick.
All right.
Now you're about to hear more about the story, Clauzel.
Now let's go into NFL. Let's start things off with the hot news right now. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Trent Richardson getting traded to Indianapolis for a first round draft pick. This is kind of major because pretty much
way
it's kind of saying that it's kind of saying that the Cleveland Browns. I don't know what's going on in Cleveland. I don't know if this is saying that hey, we're rebuilding, we're getting sold, or we just don't believe in Trent Richardson. If Trent Richardson works out, this could be Peyton Manning, Marshall Faulk / Edgerrin James 2.0 with him and Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. Tex, what do you think about this big trade that just happened today?
I think it's great for Indianapolis. I think it's good for the Browns. They stockpile picks. You got to understand, when Trent Richardson, he's a solid back. It's a new regime. It's you know, Krzyzewski is in charge. Norv Turner is OC, but it's Krzyzewski's offense. He doesn't really value running backs like Norv does or anybody else does. So, you know, you have Trent Richardson being traded to the Colts, which helps them out a lot. Pep Hamilton wants to, he wants to run the ball. Power running team, and they want to beat. So this definitely works out for Indianapolis.
Okay. Well, first, I just found out about this.
Oh, go ahead,
I didn't know about this until I was listening to the show. I think this. I agree with Tex. I think this is a good move, and you know, I would love to see Mark Ingram come with them. You know what I mean? So they can just do it like they did it in college.
What?
But. Neither way, I think the Saints should.
Wait,
I think this Mark Ingram should lead the Saints. Yes, I think Mark Ingram should lead the Saints. I don't think he's being utilized well there, but that's another conversation in itself. But you know,
he's running
the
ball for 2 yards a carry. They're utilizing
whatever. But this is the thing.
He's holding the bench from flying away into space. That's the best way to utilize him right now.
All right, but anyway.
He wasn't there that day for takeoff.
Anyway, I think this will be, you know, like you said, Edgerrin James type of thing. I can't say Marshall Faulk, but, you know, this is going to be very good for Indianapolis, man. This solidifies them as a playoff team again. That's how I look at it. I mean, this is just music to Andrew Luck's ears. That's all I got to say right there. I love the trade. I like what Cleveland's going to do, too. The only thing I'm concerned with Trent Richardson is he's very injury-prone. He seems like he's getting really beat up when he was in Cleveland. So that's the only thing I'm concerned about. But I like the fact he's going to a different conference. Even though I kind of would have liked them to stay in Cleveland because, you know, Ray Lewis and them are leaving and the Steelers look like they're a little down a little bit. But he's going into the NFC. I mean, he's going into the AFC South. So I don't think the physicality of the defenses are as big as it is in the AFC North. So I think it'll be a little bit better for him long term.
I say this about the Indianapolis Colts. I already thought they was going to be kind of a playoff team anyway. But man, I heard a story about this a couple of hours ago. Well, breaking news, like what? First off, I'll say you know we all know it's always pros and cons and stuff. I think it was a great trade for the Colts. You know, they gave Trent Richardson. You know, still a young back. You know, this is his second year. You know, came with Luck. You know, it came in the same year, same class. So, you know. I know Trent Richardson, the way I know, I guess Hurry was kind of down, like, wow, but hey, you now playing alongside a franchise quarterback who knows, some say might come down to be one of the best to ever do it, you know? He has that type of skill and ability, so it's going to add on more to your game where you're going to be seeing a lot of different looks now because they got to respect you, you know, and the quarterback you got, where in Cleveland you didn't have that with Wheaton. So now, I think it prolonged his career now, staying with Andrew Luck, and then he's going to definitely get more yards. With Cleveland, I mean, I'm like, wow. Like, Tex-Mex, you know, I agree with it. It's a new regime. We all know when the new regime comes in, they want their own ideas and their own players and how maybe, obviously, in their eyes, he didn't fit into what they're trying to do. But then again, I mean, this is the second week of the season, you know, I'm like, you know, I think if they wasn't too sure about it, I think you might could have waited, you know, longer to make this deal, if just knowing that this wasn't a guy after just going 2 weeks into the season. And I guess to it showing that they're not sold on Brandon Wheaton as their quarterback, which I agree. I've never really was sold on him to be their starter. I thought they made a mistake from Colt McCoy. I thought McCoy was their quarterback, should have them around. So it's been a mess in Cleveland. But to me, you know, I guess they got a first round pick. So I guess they said they eyes on one of the quarterbacks. I say this though, I mean really I guess they said it's gonna probably take a few years to really evaluate how this trade goes down for you know, if it was equal value. I mean I just say this, Cleveland gonna have to hit it right in the draft. If they do decide to go the quarterback route, they better get it right. If they don't get that right, it's going to sideline their franchise even longer. He brought something to the table. I still would have kept the guy. You know, he's still young. It's a piece. But like I said, they see different things. So it's just a way to
I think everybody's kind of looking at the positives of it to me. I don't know. To me, this I don't know. This means something, man. I think something's going on with Trent Richardson. I mean, maybe I look at things pessimistically, but you know, this is averaging 3 yards a carry right now. And for a team to say, okay, we're going to trade our third-round pick of last year. Well, first of all, the picks can't be at equal value because they're not going to get a third-round pick next year. So it can't be of equal value. So that's, you know, that's not going to happen. But, you know, for a team to say, okay, we're going to trade our number three pick from last year for a first-round pick from this year or whatever, we don't know what that pick's going to be. To me, that's saying something.
Maybe his injury.
Doors.
Yes, because I know he has.
That's what I'm thinking, Clavel.
That's the only thing I'm concerned about too.
Has he already passed? I mean, well, I guess I don't know. I guess he already had to pass a physical for a test to go through. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've seen something that we haven't seen.
Or maybe or maybe he doesn't get along with the regime there right now. I don't know. Or maybe he requested a trade.
But still, though, I mean, this has never happened before. This is your third, you know, this is the third pick of last year, right? And he's already gone.
I don't know, man.
But again, Mike, it's a new regime, though. I mean, it is crazy.
It doesn't matter, though, man.
But,
I mean, it doesn't matter. If you think you got talent, I mean, he's not a quarterback. He's a running back. So you're not, you know, he doesn't – his style is to run down ball. You know, it's not
yeah. –
it's different. You know, it's different if you want to have your quarterback in there or something like that. But this dude's a running back, and he's supposed to be, you know, and I don't know. There was a lot of question marks about him, you know, when he got there. And, you know, like I said, to me, it's an even bigger question mark right now, you know, for him to be going to, you know, getting traded like this. You know, I mean, I know everybody wants to look at the positives and this will be good for Cleveland, this will be good for Indiana. I don't see it. I mean, something's up. You know, this just doesn't happen like this. Something's up, you know. So,
well,
I don't know.
I was going to say, the only way to me it works out great if they, like, say Jimmy Johnson has said, having picks, you have the picks and getting good players with those picks. So they made the trade and they did what they get in the first round pick. They better damn be sure to get good players for those two picks, I mean, their two first round picks, and they better pan out great. If not, they're going to be talking about this trade and why they did this, and they say Trey Richardson turned out to have a great career in Indianapolis, that's the trade they're going to talk about forever.
But see, that's what I'm saying, though. You don't trade somebody after 1 year who you think can even – who has, you know, has a possibility of being good for a pick that you don't know what it is. I mean, maybe if this were right before the draft and we knew what the draft setup was going to be, then I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe they just – you know, maybe like you said, maybe they dude didn't get along. But we don't know what this pick is going to be. You know, we have no idea where this is going to land or who's going to be with this pick. So I can't say that they're even looking for equal value right now. It can't be because this dude was a number three pick. You know, we know Indianapolis isn't going to be the worst team in the league. So I can already tell you they can't get the same value that they got from it. I can tell you that right now, mathematically. You know?
I was going to say, really?
I mean, like
me,
I said, maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I get what you're saying, Mike. I mean, like you said, this is something everybody was like, wow, like, what, you know, just like, you know, I mean, after just two games, I was going to say, you know, I will wait, you know, this maneuver, James, just wait and see this season, even if he's not in the plans, maybe still wait and see how things go with before deciding to make a trade like that. It's pretty much
that's my point. That's what I'm saying. Something must be going on for them to have done it right now. There's no reason for you to trade him right now.
Because even we knew, I mean, he hurt. They said, I guess, it's going to be a star. But now they say they're not sure who's going to be the starting quarterback. Was kind of like shocked, like, wow, you know. Like,
I think it was, Brian Hoyt or somebody amazing like that that I've never heard of. But anyway, let's move on. With a big week last week, we had Seattle beat the Niners, Cincinnati beat Pitt, and New Orleans beat the Tampa Bay Stunners. So what did you guys take away from those games? Thanks.
Well, first, I think Seattle is probably the best team in the NFL. Defensively, they match up with everybody. Let's keep in mind that they don't have Cliff Avril or Brian Browner or Bruce Irvin right now. Let's not forget that. So when they come back, I mean, they will it's all go. I mean, they have the body types up front. They got so many different body types on the defensive line. The linebackers go from sideline to sideline, the hits, the cover. They have 11 defensive backs that can play on offense. I mean, Russell Wilson, what can you say? Doesn't make mistakes. You know, he makes plays. He's smart. Marshawn Lynch is just grinds on teams. They just grind, and then in the fourth quarter, you
still got to get Percy Harvin back. So, you know, best team in the NFL. As far as Tampa Bay and New Orleans, I thought Tampa Bay had their chances to win that game. I'm impressed with the road win over New Orleans. They hung in there. You know, this was a team that plays on turf, going to a grass field and pulling it out. Drew Brees at the end just doing what he do, making plays, getting the ball down the field. I think Tampa might. I think they do have – they have some players, but I think they do have some problems. I think Shiano needs to listen to his guys. We'll get in that in a minute, though.
Yeah, yeah, boy.
What other game did I have on there?
You said Bengals and the Steelers.
Oh, Bengals and the Steelers. Pittsburgh had their opportunities. That tripping call and the turnover, the fumble, was huge. I mean, it just went against them totally. And it wasn't like Dalton was great. I'm still on the Bengals because I still think the quarterback is silly. But, you know, Eifert and Bernard, I mean, they have weapons. The Bengals have some weapons. All right? So I don't think Pitt is done yet, although people are writing them off. Still don't think they're done. Thomas still the coach. Roethlisberger still the quarterback. They just have to get it fixed in a hurry. You're 0-2. You got to get it fixed. So that's how I feel.
Mike, hello?
Who's next? Oh, who's going? Me or?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
You want me to go? Okay. Well, like, I mean, even though I have Seattle in the NFC Championship, that game, you know, last week, you know, I had San Francisco. I thought San Francisco was going to do it really because, you know, they beat Green Bay. You know, many think that's a contending team and cause that could be in the Super Bowl as well. I just thought with the juice, the Kool-Aid that, you know, San Francisco playing a game like that, they still have the momentum. But, and also, too, you know, Seattle won two weeks ago against Carolina. They almost lost that game. They could have lost that game. They only scored, you know, 12 points. And, you know, if D'Angelo Williams didn't fumble that ball in the end zone area, Carolina possibly could have won that game. I mean, you know, their defense is, you know, is stacked. Of course, I still got them going away. But the question is, on offense, can they score enough points? Do they have enough weapons to score points? Like, let's say when they go into battles with the San Francisco, Green Bay, or, you know, Denver and stuff, do we have enough points to score? That's the only thing I kind of know with that. That's why I was saying Texas. Maybe, and I told Texas about Randy Moss, you never know. They might could, you know, give him a call to, you know, answer on that side of the ball. But, you know, that's another story. But, I mean, that was a impressive win, a real, real impressive win on what they did to San Francisco. And right now, pretty many folks probably would say they're the best team in the NFL right now. I didn't really see the Pittsburgh and Cincy game, but I know Pittsburgh is starting to show their age. But I agree with Tate Ford and White them all the way off. I mean, I had them winning that division. You know, you still got Ben Roethlisberger, and you have, you know, Coach Tomlin. But the only big blow is losing Pouncey, your hard anchor of your offensive line. I mean, Cincinnati, I guess, you know, they made some plays and they won the game. Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Yeah, of course, I said it was going to come down between the Saints and the Falcons, but I really think the Saints was probably going to win that AFC South. I mean, Tampa Bay, like Tex said, Tampa Bay had a chance to win. It was a close game, but it's just, there's problems in Tampa Bay with, you know, the Shiano and Freeman thing, and something got to give. I don't know if this is going to – this constantly being like this, I don't know if it's going to last the season. They might have to make a change soon. So maybe somewhere in mid-season, if it's going to be a coaching change or a trade change, or maybe, you know, trading Freeman somewhere or something, because, you know, something got to give on that. I mean, Tampa Bay, they got talent. And I think Freeman, you know, he has the talent, but it's just, like you said, sometimes it might be a change of place, you know, be good. And if Shiano, if they feel Shiano's going to be their coach for the next several years, then they probably going to have to trade Josh Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Man, where do I start, man? Yeah, Seattle, yeah, the best team, whatever, right now. Right now. And the other one was about Tampa and New Orleans, right? Was there any other ones? You talking about Pittsburgh? You asked about Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, thank you.
I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin might get the brunt of that. We've talked about that before. And Shiano and Freeman, Tampa Bay. I mean, that's the biggest topic going on in the Tampa Bay right now, in the sports world, Shiano versus Freeman. And let's just backtrack here because I know Matt's listening. And let's just backtrack here where this all started, in my opinion. This all started when Raheem Morris got fired. Something tells me that Freeman didn't like that. I have this hunch of a feeling that he didn't like that. New guy came in, Shiano. I don't know if him and Freeman kind of rubbed each other the right way because Shiano is Tom Coughlin Jr., if you know what I mean. He's really disciplinary, very high on attention to detail, very good coach. But if you don't have the leadership to say, okay, hey, this guy, you know, he's going to be he's going to be hard-ass, you know, but let's just do this for the betterment of the team because that's what the Giants had. They had that senior leadership to mold the team to, hey, you know, let's just deal with this. I don't think Tampa Bay has that. So, you know, Shiano's like, hey, it's my way or whatever. I don't care how you feel. That's how his mindset is from my understanding. That's what reports are saying. So him and Freeman aren't getting along. And what really tipped the bird, in my opinion, is when the report came out this summer that Shiano is not sold on Freeman. And Shiano didn't, you know, he didn't say that was false. He just let it slide or whatnot. And ever since then, the trust has been broken between Shiano and Freeman. And I think it's to the point where it's irreparable. And what the players have seen now is they're looking at Shiano now. Because you know, I've been on record on this show to say that, you know, the whole city of Tampa, they don't want Josh Freeman. I've been saying that since last year. Everybody on the show can attest to that. Now, the team now is starting to look at Shiano from what the reports are saying and saying, like, what have you done since you've been in the league? I mean, you were a college coach at Rutgers. I mean, you ain't done nothing to be successful in this league. I mean, what have you done? So now the team is starting to be a little bit skeptical of Shiano. Darrell Revis came out to the media, said something, you know, and he covered it up on Twitter, you know. So I think that when John Madden said it very clear today, it says when it comes down to the coach and the player, and if it comes to a situation where you can't, you know, come to agreement and you still keep the person, it's on the coach. So I blame Greg Schiano for this whole situation. And it all started when the report came out that, you know, he's not sold on Freeman and he let that slide. I blame him for this whole problem right here. And I think, you know, the team, he's losing the team.
I mean,
I can't blame Greg Schiano for Josh Freeman going 9-for-22 with the pick and interception now.
But I was at the game. Hold up. I was at the game. Hold up now. I was at the game. And when he only had five passes that were at his fault. I saw every pass he threw. He only had five passes that were his fault. The point of the matter is, now, if you what I'm looking at it is from a person in Tampa Bay listening to the radio, and I do think Cam Newton is next in line behind Josh Freeman, but that's another conversation in itself. But the way the Tampa Bay media is trying to portray this guy is as if he's a non-team guy, he's horrible, and that's not true. He is a team guy. Now, he's not a top-five quarterback, obviously. Now, if you're going to bring somebody in like a Kirk Cousins, I'm okay with that. If you're going to bring somebody in like a Phillip Rivers or a Tony Romo, I'm okay with that. But if you're going to expect Mike Glennon to come in here, the backup here, the guy from NC State, you expecting him to come in here and save the day from Josh Freeman? Tampa has something. They losing themselves. They really think that's going to happen.
I don't think Glennon is the answer. But clearly, it's clear that Josh Freeman has regressed since his second year.
Right, I think he has.
That's clear.
That is correlated to the fact that he has lost trust for his coach. So a lot of people
Shiano only been there This is what, his second year?
Right, but he came out with a report. There was a report that came out that said he's not sold on Freeman, and Shiano didn't say that's not true.
This is Freeman's fifth year now, though. He started regressing after his second year. That was 2011.
What do you mean he regressed? He didn't regress. Hold on. First of all, last year he didn't have a bad year. Let's get that straight. He didn't have a bad year. He had a bad completion percentage in terms of 55%. He had a good touchdown to interception ratio. He had a good amount of yards. He didn't have a bad year.
17-8, that's 2-1. That's not good.
2-1. It's better than having more picks than interceptions.
Hold on, not 17-8, 27-17. That's more
important.
Right. 2-1. That's not good, dude.
Mm-hmm. It went bad. What are you talking about? It's not bad.
In the year before that, he had 16 touchdowns to 22 interceptions.
No, he didn't. Hold on. First of all, his second year, he had 25 touchdowns and 6 picks. What quarterback are you looking up?
This
is a conversation itself.
Hold on, wait. Like I told you, this is his fifth year. That was 4 years ago, Clavel. Since then, he had, in 2011, he had 16 touchdowns for 22 interceptions.
Yeah, that was a bad year. And then last year, he got better. What'd you say?
He threw ten more touchdowns, and his percentage dropped 8%. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm saying he's not a bad quarterback. The point is he's not a bad quarterback. Is he horrible? No.
He's getting worse.
Is he one of the best in the league? No. But the way the Tampa Bay media is trying to portray this guy is if you're one of the worst in the league or something. And that's fine. I mean, if you got somebody coming in that's going to be better, I'm good with that.
Hold on. It's not the media. Look at his stat line right now. Right now, he's passing for 45% with two touchdowns and two interceptions. That's what he's doing right now. So it's not the media.
The first game, hold on. First of all, I'm not even really a Josh. I don't really care. I'm just following this because I love. This is symbolic. This situation in Tampa is symbolic for what's going to happen in the other league, parts of the league, and that's another conversation itself. But what I'm saying is,
come on now.
Oh, yes, it is. And the thing is, first of all, is the first game he played against the New York Jets, he put them in a position to win at the end. So you can't dispute that. Even the second game, even in the game against New Orleans, he put them in a position to win. But at the same time, the coach didn't.
His first game against the Jets, he was 15-31.
But did he put them in a position to win? Didn't he lead them to win the game? Did he lead them to put them in a position to win?
No, they haven't won any games. They're 0-2.
But what happened was it was a final drive, and Josh Freeman led them down the field when they needed him to make a play. He made a play that game.
How come they didn't
win?
That's
the point I'm saying. The first game, I saw the game on TV. I was watching it, and I was at the game last week. Anyway, let me just move on, man. I don't want to take too much time.
I wouldn't be surprised that Shiano wasn't sold on him because, of course, we all know when Coach comes in, he probably wanted his guy, and I guess read it too, that he's not really the type of quarterback he really wanted anyway.
Then trade him and get somebody else in there. But don't be sitting up here leaking stuff about him trying to, you know, that's what Shiano's doing. He's subtly trying to leak stuff, you know, trying to say he's late, you know, he's not sold on him. He's just trying to paint this guy as something he's not. Now, I can understand that you're saying, okay, this guy's not good enough for what I want to do, and I don't want him. But no, he's trying to come up with some reason to get rid of him. That's what it boils down to.
He's not having to come up with it. Freeman's not bad. I'll say this. If Freeman were backing it up, and I don't want to get stuck on Josh Freeman for too long, but if Josh Freeman were backing this up with good play on the field, it would be different. He's not, let's say this, he's not helping his cause at all. Can we agree to that?
I can agree to that.
Okay. Let's, Let me bring in Tony Wiley real quick.
I thought it was Matt.
Yeah. Oh, is that, hold on. 813-784, who is that? Matt or Tony?
That's Matt. What's going on, Matt?
Oh, what's going on, Matt?
How's it going, man?
All right. I finally got Clauzel to admit that, that Josh Freeman is not helping his cause by playing the way that he's playing. What is your input on this?
I've been working on that for the last 2 years.
So, what's your input on this? Well, first he tried to erase the whole one of Josh Freeman's season. He tried to just skip from season two to last year. He tried to erase season three.
He's trying to boost stat boosting over here. Come on, man. You see, Clausel has a tendency to repress the bad stuff. So he buries that deep down inside.
So he. All right, whatever, man. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. Now, if you bring somebody in that's better, I'm good with that. But to try to paint this guy as some non-team guy, that's what they're trying to do now here in Tampa.
Question.
Okay, ask me the question.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Name one of 31 other teams that want him.
I don't know. I can't name one.
Exactly.
I don't know. He's on
not
the
a
trading
good quarterback
block.
Then. If nobody wants him, nobody likes him.
So do you, okay then, Matt. If he got released, do you think there is a team that would pick him up?
Absolutely, he's a quality backup.
So then that means somebody would want him. Then all right, that's the answer to your question. Then
this
that means somebody would want him.
I wanted to clear up something real quick. There is no media leak. There's no player leak. There's no front office leak with the Buccaneers. The leak is coming from an agent or agents, is what the front office of the Buccaneers has told me. It's not coming from them and within the organization. It's coming from agents.
So does Josh Freeman want out of Tampa?
Showing up late to pictures.
Oh my God!
Darrell Revis is unhappy. All the drama that's going on, all the stuff that has been reported on, has been leaks that came from agents.
You say Darrell Revis not happy with Josh Freeman, or he's not just happy. Period. With
not
the same.
Happy with the scheme. Not happy with Shiano and his scheme. Is what the report was. Fox Sports came out and said Darrell Revis said, and they quoted that he was unhappy with Shiano .. Shiano's scheme. Quote. And he came back after talking with Shiano and said he's happy to be a Buccaneer. He didn't deny saying that. He just said, I'm happy to be in Tampa Bay. I'm happy to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. That's all he said. He didn't deny any of it. What he did say is he's happy to be here. So he doesn't want to lump himself in the category of the trade talks or not wanting to be here. It's just that obviously he wants to see some change. Not necessarily even on the defensive side. Maybe he does. He evidently, in part of the report, he said he wanted to play more man coverage on the number one receiver. If you look at this last weekend, that game-winning drive and the catch that they made with Colston, it was Leonard Johnson covered Colston, their number one receiver, not Darrell Revis. They let Leonard Johnson cover the number one receiver against one of the best quarterbacks in football one-on-one. He didn't have any help. You put him on an island, and it wasn't Revis Island. And that's the island we want him on. That was the problem. I think that was the gripe.
Well, let me ask you a question, Matt. What's the end game in all this? Where do you see this all going?
I don't think anything's going to happen during the course of the year as far as staff changes. I was really surprised to hear about a trade because, quite frankly, other than maybe a fourth or fifth round pick, they're not going to get anything for Josh Freeman. So I don't see a trade happening there because Glennon isn't ready. I mean, he's had spurts where he looks okay. But he's not ready. They want to give him more of a chance to get used to the offense, get used to the system. Shiano's not going anywhere.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. It's only his second year. He's not going to go anywhere.
But if the reports are saying that he's losing the team.
This is what I say.
look at your lines, look at your Vegas lines, see where they're at. That's going to tell you what's going to happen the rest of the year, because Vegas seems to know more about it than any of us. I think the Buccaneers have, well, I don't know, they're probably, the Patriots are what, probably favored by 10 points this weekend. I would bet on Tampa Bay to win. To be honest with you, I would go with a long shot here. To be honest with you, because there's so much going on, and players have a tendency to take out their frustrations on the field. Let's just hope it's not Golden, because he can't, his wallet and career can't hold too many more personal fouls. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa Bay beats the Patriots this week.
I would.
Yeah, Tex, I want to hear what your take on this is. What's your take on this whole Shiano Freeman thing? Tex, what's your take on the Shiano Freeman situation?
Well, Freeman, he had a 27-17 year last year, but he was not as good as his stats might indicate. People got to stop stat scouting, first of all. You got to stop stat scouting. You got to look at the numbers within the numbers. I think Freeman is a talented quarterback. He's a strong-armed quarterback. He's suited for a deep-ball offense that focuses on the run. You know, his short and intermediate accuracy has always been an issue. That's a thing that he needed to work on, his decision-making. As far as Shiano, he wants to be a hard ass, whatever. He came from Rutgers. You're at Rutgers, you're not winning anything. So, your players look at you like, okay, well, buddy, who are you? You're not Jimmy Johnson coming from Miami, winning 2-3 national championships. It's like, who are you? I think Shiano needs to, his style works if you're winning. It doesn't if you're losing.
And see, hold that thought, Tex. And the thing is, this is the thing, and that's what I told Matt on the show last night. I think he's a good coach, but I don't think he's a good leader, like a good motivator. I don't think he's a good motivator. And I think that's what's going to cost him that's going to cost him his job if he doesn't change this.
And that's what I was kind of elaborating about, saying, like, I was shocked when it kind of like, wow, that, you know, you hear college coaches like Tex said, Jimmy Johnson, but, I mean, he was a coach. I mean, what he did with Rutgers, he turned that program around, but, I mean, he didn't win nothing big in college football. He's not like, Jimmy Johnson or, let's say, like Barry Switzer type of status or even Joe Paterno. So I was like, okay, you're just a regular guy, but what the hell have you done? That was great. And then in Seattle, he ain't even been a coach in the NFL, right? He never even been an assistant coach right in the NFL. Is that correct?
He was an assistant coach. He was with the Cowboys when they won the Super Bowls. He was like the secondaries coach or something like that.
Yeah. Who was that?
He was with the Cowboys when they won their Super Bowls. He was like the secondaries coach or something like that. So he's a good coach, man. I'm not saying he's a good coach, but I'm not saying he needs to change. And Tex, I didn't want to interrupt you. I want you to continue what you were saying. I didn't want to interrupt you. He's a good coach.
No, I was about done, but Cowboys secondary coach when they were winning Super Bowls was Dave Campo.
Oh, okay. I thought Shiano was on with them though. Shiano was with them in some capacity.
Shiano was in Miami. Shiano wasn't with the Cowboys ever. That was Campo. That was the secondary coach.
Trust me, if he was with the Cowboys during that time, he probably got promoted to being like a coordinator somewhere or assistant.
Mike Zimmer later on, Campo left.
I think it's kind of interesting. We're talking about leadership, the leadership out of the coach. And they were talking about this morning, Rick Stroud and Tom Jones on the sports page. Leadership normally isn't what you look for from the coach per se. You usually, it's more so the unsung captain, not the voted team captain. That has been in the news. It's the vocal ears. I know Ray. I'm using Ray Lewis as an example as a vocal leader, someone vocal leader, spiritual leader, somebody that stays, you know, in their head, in their face, and their foot up their ass. You know, that kind of leader. That's what's missing with Tampa Bay. That veteran leadership. Yeah, you bring in Darrelle Revis, you bring in Golson. That's some veteran leadership. You have Carl Nick there. He's soft-spoken. He doesn't say a whole lot. Devontae David, he's young. He's a good player. I honestly think all around, he's besides Darrelle Revis, he's probably the best player on the Bucs defense. But he's quiet. He's a quiet guy. That's not his role. You know, McCoy, he's a talker, but he's not a leader. You know, he because he's a Pro Bowler, he wants to talk like he's a leader, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think anybody takes him serious enough.
Let me ask you a question, Matt.
They're missing that.
Yeah. With this Shiano thing, is this a situation where winning could cure all? If they crank off three or
Absolutely.
Four wins in a row,
is this
going to be righted?
Yeah, they
Absolutely.
Win, then, yeah.
Yeah, we all know
winning
solves everything.
That's the problem. I mean, if the Buccaneers right now eke out those two wins, are we really talking as much in depth about all this stuff?
Exactly.
No, we're not.
Of course not. If they're going into New England undefeated, obviously the headlines are much different. And
these little blurbs here
aren't even an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. All right, let's move on. I want to move into this. We got another big story coming up. We got Mike Vick going against Andy Reid. We've kind of seen a resurgence in Mike Vick. It's funny because a lot of I don't know if you guys follow the fantasy football, but a lot of fantasy football guys really had him on. Ranked high this year. A lot of people thought that he would have a good year this year, and it's turning out to be so. He's playing really well. Deshaun Jackson's playing well, even though they lost. I can't think of the other wide receiver's name.
Exactly.
They lost Jerry Macklin for the year. You know, the team's looking really good. I think McCoy is leading the league in rushing, and I think Jackson's leading the league in passing. I mean, receiving. So you know, they're looking really good heading into KC to face their former coach. Also, who's another surprise story, we can talk about that too. Kansas City's been looking really good. And, Clavel, you were one of the people that was doubting Alex Smith. I told you that he was a decent quarterback, and I told you I think they were going to have a lot of success with them. And it's been proven right now. They're coming in
after two games.
Hey, if they win one more game, that's going to be more than they won last year. So what does that mean? You feel me?
Yeah.
Exactly. They're both equal their win total. If they win five more games, they equal their win total for the past 2 years, for the past two or 3 years. So I mean, like I said, you can definitely see a turnaround in that team, though. You know, but what do you guys think about those two upcoming storylines?
I mean, last year, you know, of course, I had, you know, Kansas City has a talent. I had them win a division last year. But, I mean, right now, they're playing, they 2-0, and Philly definitely could have been 2-0. They both of them playing, you know, pretty well. I mean, I think it's going to be a good game we're going to watch tomorrow.
You had a winning division last year.
I mean, Vic, hey, I'm glad he's flourishing that system. You know, we all wishing Michael Vick success. You know, it's something that's out there, but, you know, we all – wishing, you know, tell me, hey, he said he loves this system. He says it's fit and he's doing well. Only thing is, you know, can he, you know, maintain staying healthy the whole season? But hey, other than that, he's doing his thing.
Tex, you think this Chip Kelly offensive system, is this a gimmick or is this something that's going to be able to work for a full season?
Nah, this is not a gimmick. This is what it is. It's a spread offense. The Wildcat was a bit of a gimmick. The Chip Kelly's offense is a perfect fit in the NFL. I mean, if it freezes front sevens, you have a problem with discipline, with grown men being disciplined for 60 minutes. You got to keep these guys in the gaps for 60 minutes. And again, this just freezes a front seven completely. It's obvious the impact that it's having. They're moving the ball at breakneck speed. That they're having the ball for less than 20 minutes. They're putting up 500 offensive yards. This thing is here. It's here. It's Nick Saban and Bill Belichick going to Chip Kelly and like, well, damn, how do I stop this kind of offense? You know, two of the best coaches out there. What do I need to do to try to stop this offense? Why? Because they know it's coming.
All right. Hold on real quick. Let me put this guy in here. See what he has to say. 813-766. I guess he dropped. All right, never mind. We continue the conversation.
All right, this is you, Plus. What do you think about what's going on?
For me?
Yeah, Mike Vick and KC.
I mean, I just hope they don't boo Andy Reid when he comes back tomorrow. You know, he did all that for that franchise. So I think that, it'd be good for them to, to celebrate his time in Philly. I'm glad that they retired Donovan McNabb's number. But in regards to Chip Kelly's offense, I think that it is a good fit. I'm not still sold on it now. I just got to see it for a little bit longer. But from what I've seen so far, it looks like it's going to stay. And, I guess that's all I have to say. I don't really have nothing else to say. More power to Chip Kelly, I guess. More power to Chip Kelly.
Well, I mean, what does this mean about, I mean, these kind of offenses, people have always said, would never work in the NFL. I mean, what does this mean about the landscape of the NFL and how the league is changing?
It's just changing to more, fast-paced spread. That's what it's changing to. Sort of like that.
Yeah. So the game is going up.
It's like a 7-on-7 with the linemen, basically. It's strictly passing.
Okay.
This running through though, don't get twisted. These spreads, they're similar, but they're different. You know, they're not the same.
They're similar to what?
With the pocket quarterback is not the same as what someone might run at A&M, which is not the same as what Chip Kelly runs at Philadelphia and what he ran at Oregon.
What's the difference? Because, like, with Sumlin, it just seems like he has that big – what's the really big difference between Sumlin and Chip Kelly, you think?
Well, Sumlin's is more pass balance. They'll run, but theirs is more pass balance. Chip Kelly will throw, but they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball. They want you – it's misdirection, and they want to take shots deep off the play action or off the run phase. Like how they've been doing with Michael Vick. He likes to use tight ends too. He's used all three of his tight ends this year a lot. So that's kind of the difference between like Sumlin's and Kelly's.
Okay.
So really, Sumlin really does an emphasis on the run that much compared to Kelly. Tech, that's what you're saying?
No, it's Mike, you go back, you look at Sumlin's offense now, and then you look at Chip Kelly's when they was at Oregon. They wanted to run the ball. They wanted to push you on the ground, and they wanted to take shots deep. Chip Kelly used his tight ends at Oregon. He's using his tight ends at Philadelphia, as to where other spreads kind of, you have four or five wide receivers. You have a running back or a scat back, however you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point Tex brought up. When Chip Kelly was at Oregon, a lot of people automatically assume spread is going to mean a lot of passing. Oregon was always a running team. Oregon has only had one 3,000-yard passer that I know of within the last 20 or so years, and that was Akili Smith. And, you know, that was 15 or so years ago almost. So, you know, they've always been a very rush, you know, run oriented team. And you know, that started under Bellotti and continued on to on to Chip Kelly. Let's move on. I want to get in this buy, sell, and hold real quick. Let's start off buy, sell, and hold. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Let's start with the Cowboy fan here. Text buy, sell, and hold on Dallas Cowboys.
I'm a hold on the Cowboys. I like what I'm seeing from the defense. I like what I'm seeing as far as the pass rush is concerned. They're coming off the edges against teams that are rushing the passer. I don't like that they leaving room in the middle of the field. It's a cover two. They have to stop that. The offense, they need to get it together on the ground. I think the play calling is okay. I think they need to execute better, but they need to run the ball better. They need to make Dez Bryant the focal point of the offense. Quit trying to always get the ball to Jason Witten, or even while you're trying to run the ball, run to DeMarco Murray. Let Dez be your guy. I mean, you know, stop it. That's why he goes to Kansas City, because Dez is not your guy.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That kind of surprised me this year. You know, like I said in the preseason, I thought he would be Offensive Player of the Year this year. You know, to me, it's kind of, you know, you got one of the fastest cars in the world, and you know, and you're driving them in the 45. You're driving in a 45 mile per hour zone. So, you know, to me, I don't know if you do some type of Randy ratio thing or whatever, but you know, definitely you gotta get the Dez Bryant, and you know, gotta get him in the game, get him the ball some more.
Exactly.
What do you think about them,
I'm a hold too. I mean, they are looking good. Now I can't really go into detail. I watched the first game. I didn't really watch them the second game, so. But from what I've seen, they look pretty good. But I'm a hold because you know this is the Cowboys, man. When you need them, they like for some reason they don't show up. So from that standpoint, I put them on hold.
Mike,
I mean, hey, it's still early. A lot of them have them being picked to win the East, but I mean, I didn't see what happened the last game, but. I seen it was pretty close, and you know, Kansas City has talent, and not a slouch team. So, hey, I'll have the Cowboys up there. I keep them.
All right. Speaking of Kansas City, let's make that our next buy, sell, or hold. I'm gonna buy on KC. Like I said, something told me Alex Smith would fit in well there, and I think you know, even though it's only two games, you know, I don't want to go ahead and jump the gun here, but like I said, I just like the way that I like the way he's sitting in there. I like the way their offense is moving. You know, their defense. They got a good team. They have a very talented team. You know, they were able to keep a lot of those first round draft picks from when they were sorry. They were able to keep a lot of those guys signed, and so they got a lot of talent. And you know, started with Derrick Johnson, they were able to keep all those guys signed the days of the draft. And, you know, so they got a very talented squad. I just, you know, I like the way they're playing right now. So I'm going to go ahead and buy on them. Text.
I'm going to hold on Kansas City. I think Alex Smith is, I think he's a decent quarterback. I'm not a buyer that he can fully handle the volume that Andy Reid wants him to handle. While he's done a decent job, he's averaging 5 yards per attempt. Got to do better than that in an Andy Reid offense. You have to do better than that. Later on in the season when you're playing Denver, you're playing these teams with these explosive offenses, you have to be better than 5 yards per attempt. And he doesn't have the arm to get it deep. They still have the O-line. They still have Jamaal Charles. So I'm not selling. I'm not buying right now, but I'm definitely going to hold to see where they go.
Call up.
Man, I'm selling, man. I ain't sold on Kansas City in this, only because of Alex Smith. Because when you need him, he doesn't show up. Same when he did in San Francisco against the Giants, cost San Francisco a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not sold on Alex Smith. I mean, he's not. I'm just not.
You sound like a bit of a hater.
I'm not a hater. It's just, you know, I'm being honest, man. When you need him, he's not going to be there for you.
So you don't like Alex Smith, but you like Josh Freeman.
I never said I'm not a huge Josh Freeman fan. I'm saying this Josh Freeman, the reason I'm into this Josh Freeman situation is because this is very symbolic. This is very symbolic about what's about to happen to Cam Newton. This is what's going to happen to Cam Newton. This is going to happen to RG3, too. Just follow next line. So I'm keeping tabs on what's happening with Josh Freeman.
Let me lay it out there and say this real quick. You think the same thing that's happening to Josh Freeman is going to happen to every young black quarterback in the league?
Not everyone, but I think it's going to happen to Cam Newton. I think it's going to happen to Cam Newton. Yes, I do.
You don't think winning has anything to do with it?
Yes, I do think hold on. First of all, I think winning has something to do with it. Yes, nobody's disputing that. I mean, and I've been talking and you guys know me. I've been talking about this last year. I've been talking about this last year, and this is the culmination of what's happening. Winning has something to do with it, but the guy's not a horrible quarterback. That's just the problem. Like, he's not a horrible quarterback, and the way that he is being portrayed in the media here in Tampa is if he's a horrible quarterback, and it's not true. Nobody, and the city doesn't want him. They're treating him like crap here. They're trying to come up with any type of reason to get rid of this guy. Somebody's saying he has prescription addiction or something like that. I'm like, how do you know that? You know, they're coming up with anything. And this is the standard that they're going to come with Cam. They're trying to do this to Cam Newton in Carolina. Trust me.
But like I said earlier, winning cures all. So why not just win then? If you're not a good
You cannot win a Super Bowl every year. You cannot get to the NFC Championship every year.
I'm asking 10 games. Give me 10 Ws, and I'll be all right.
He's done that before. No, but what? And you gotta understand this also too, Matt. 2 years ago in Tampa, Josh Freeman was the man. Everybody was like, "This is our quarterback of the future." That's what everybody was saying 2 years ago. This is our quarterback for the future.
You mean three years ago. 2 years ago, you threw 2020.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Everybody was like, this guy is the man. This guy is the man. And the city has turned on him like nothing. They have turned their fences on him.
He's gotten worse since then.
No, he got worse 2011. 2012, he got better. He improved from what he did the previous year. Is that not true?
The previous year was horrible, but it was still.
Didn't he improve from the previous year? He passed over 4,000 yards, and he improved over the previous year. He has the best statistical year in the history of the franchise. And these people are talking like he's like a bust or something.
That's not saying a lot for the Bucs, Clavel.
I'm just saying, but the fans don't want him here. So you're trying to tell me that doesn't say anything when I'm sitting up here listening to that?
It does, man, but all I'm saying is back it up by winning. Give me something working. Don't back it up by horrible play and a bad attitude.
I can respect that. I can understand that. I mean, and what was the Bucs' record last year? It wasn't like 2-14. It was like 9-7 or something like that. 8-8. I mean, it ain't like the guy sucks. That's the point I'm saying. Tex, do you have any opinion on this, Tex?
Yeah. All right, well, we just got the 90-second call. Let's wrap it up.
All right, whatever.
Got any last-minute observations they want to make?
Well,
why don't you go over time a little bit? I want to hear what Tex got to say about this.
About what?
To Josh Freeman. Because I didn't really think you completed what you had to say. If picking it with Shiano, because you're saying exactly what I feel like. Who are you? What have you done since you've been in this league to throw your weight around like that? That's just the thing that's starting to annoy me.
I totally agree with that. It doesn't work with all college coaches, but it works with some. See Chip Kelly, see Jim Harbaugh, even see Jimmy Johnson back then. I'm not the biggest Josh Freeman fan. I think that he, his growth is kind of stunted a little bit. Different reasons for that. But I'm looking at Greg Schiano, and again, I'm, you know, I'm thinking like, who are you? You know, it's, you know, you didn't win anything at Rutgers. You came from Rutgers. You came from Big. You know, well, I mean, what
well,
are you
me,
doing?
I see where you guys are coming from, but let me post to you like this. Okay, he's the coach. Somebody's the coach. Hey, Clausel, you're a professor. If when you got to your first class, when you first started, the kids was like, you ain't taught in this school before, so who are you to teach us? How would they be able to be? You're the professor. He's the coach. What do you expect him to do besides be in control of that team?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. No, it's nothing wrong with setting.
If I get hired as the boss of the company, it don't matter if I've never been a boss before. My employees can't tell me that I've never been a boss before. They don't got to listen to what I say and do. They get fired.
Right. I understand that. It's one thing to set a standard. I can respect that. But when you're not winning and you're still being a pain, it's like being a professor. Like if I'm a hard professor and I'm slipping up here on the board. You know, the students are going to look at me like, I mean, who are you to be giving us these hard questions on this test?
And then you would give them an F.
Yeah, they're going to look at me like, who are you?
Then you would probably give them an F.
Yeah, but like, you're going to lose respect. You're going to lose respect. I'm like, if you don't have the pedigree to be a hard professor, if you don't have the knowledge, you know, if you haven't shown that you've done it before, I mean, they're going to look at you like, who are you? I mean,
I don't know, Claudia.
And I'm not saying Shiano's a good coach.
I looked you up on Rate My Professor, and one of your ratings did have you down as a stuntman, so I'm not too sure.
I know, it was you who put that there. It's probably you who put that there. So the thing is, the point I'm making here is, and that's why I'm really interested in this situation is because I listen to talk radio every day, right, and 7 days a week, and the way they're talking about this guy on the radio, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's just crazy, and it's going to happen to Cam Newton. I know it is. I know it is. I can already see it now because he's losing right now. I think something very similar is going on in Carolina.
Okay, but let me ask you this. How long
can
you carry – how long do you think a team should carry a losing quarterback? Somebody has to answer for it.
He's a losing quarterback?
Yes, they're only –
he's not a losing quarterback. He just doesn't make – his team hasn't made it to the playoffs. He's not a losing quarterback. But
okay,
the thing is
– how long can you carry a quarterback who can't make the playoffs? Same thing.
But who do you have better to come in?
Draft it, trade, something.
So you're on board to saying they should get rid of Josh Freeman, basically.
No, I'm just saying somebody has to answer for it, and it always falls in the quarterback position. When they win, the quarterback gets the credit. When they lose, the quarterback gets the butt.
I mean, how many times did Carson Palmer not take Cincinnati to the playoffs? How many times Phillip Rivers has not has? What has Phillip Rivers done in San Diego? Why are they getting – I mean, why are they calling for his job in San Diego?
Some people are, but he's in the latter side of his career. They were a perennial playoff team when he was in his prime.
What about Carson Palmer?
Carson Palmer's on his fourth, fifth team now? Come on now.
Yeah, but they were never like – he should be kicked out of Cincinnati or anything like that.
He was. He got traded to Oakland.
He got traded because he requested a trade. But before that, kick him out of Cincinnati.
He got traded because they got Andy Dalton, and they were like, okay, what you can just do is give us a better shot to you, Carson Palmer. You got to go.
No, that's not what happened. That is not what happened. No, he before the season started, he said, I don't want to be here no more, and he set out the whole, like half the season or something like
that. And what did they do? They did not trade him. Because they didn't buy that because he requested that trade. They were gonna hold on to him. The owner said that. They did that once they seen Andy Dalton came in there and could play. Then they were like, okay, we can let go of this guy now. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, let's just say this will be a storyline. This will be a storyline we'll follow on for weeks to come. But
this is symbolic. This is very symbolic. I'm telling you what's going to happen to the rest of the league. I'm telling you, man. I can sense it. Because I can tell you the same stuff they're saying about Cam Newton right now was the same stuff they were saying about Josh Freeman last year. It's like they put little drops of stories down. The same thing they're starting with RG3 and Cam. You know what they said about Kirk Cousins coming in. Those are the little subtle things that they're gonna, and it's gonna snowball into a bigger story. Watch what I say now. That's all I gotta say.
I don't disagree with you, but like I say, this will be something we'll follow throughout the rest, throughout the whole season and see how it is. But like I say, winning cures everything. They crank off two or three wins in a row. We ain't even talking about this no more. So you know, but you gotta win. You gotta win in the NFL. Anyway, let's wrap things up. CMT Firestorm, we had a good show. Thank you for everybody calling in. Join us again next week. Everybody will be back, and we're going to have another good show for you guys. All right? Peace.
All right, everybody. Yeah.